Hi, I'm Monica Hallan, and this is my podcast, Let's Talk Money. Every Friday, a new episode will drop that gives you a snapshot analysis of one money-related topic that has meaning in your life. And then I answer your money questions. My hope is to put you on the path to financial stability and freedom. So, let's talk money. I've had a really busy season of corporate talks, and the one question that every session had was one on the SGBs. What? You don't know what an SGB is? Okay, you're in the right room. Let's unpack it. We Indians love our gold, but those of us who buy it in the physical form have a problem of storage and safety. But when we buy it in a financial form, in a gold ETF, they have a small cost. To offer citizens an option to keep buying gold, but move it from being a physical product to a financial one, the government introduced the Sovereign Gold Bond, the SGB scheme, in November 2015. The aim was also to help keep the import bill of gold down. Since the government doesn't buy the gold or hedge it, it is only a sovereign promise to pay. SGBs are government securities or bonds which are denominated in grams of gold. They are substitutes for holding physical gold, and this bond is issued by the Reserve Bank of India on behalf of the Government of India. So what happens is that you buy at the current market price of gold, and when you exit, you get the gold price as on that future date. If in this time gold prices have gone up, you make a profit. If they have gone down, you make a loss. How much can you buy? Well, you know, these bonds are sold in units of 1 gram of gold and then multiples of that. So the minimum that you need to buy is 1 gram of gold, and the maximum you can buy is 4 kilos a year. And remember that each family member can own 4 kilos of gold in a year. And this information is important, of course, for the high net worth investors who use gold as a store of value and an extreme emergency fund. You need to hold these bonds for 8 years. The maturity period is 8 years. But for those who want to exit earlier, it is possible after the 5th year, but you might not get the tax break. And I'll talk about that tax thing in a moment. How do you buy this? Well, most large banks will have a facility to sell these bonds. You can buy it from the Stock Holding Corporation. Reserve Bank of India has something called RBI Direct. It is a window through which you can buy it directly from the Reserve Bank of India. Now, since these bonds are listed, they are traded like stocks on the stock exchange. This is an important feature for those who want an early exit and might want to trade the bonds out. Should you be using this route to hold gold? I think so, definitely. There are 2 big advantages of holding gold in the SGB form over any other form. The first is that you get an interest on your gold holdings. This might change, but it is currently at 2.5% a year, and this is given to you twice a year. But wait, you're saying, 2.5% is lower than even a savings bank deposit. That's right. But remember that no other form of gold gives back an interest. Gold is a metal, and it throws off no rent, no interest, no dividend. It only gives you a profit or a loss. SGBs have a small rate of interest to attract investors to it. But remember that this interest is taxable and gets added to your income and gets taxed at slab level. The second reason why I find SGBs a great idea is that your long-term capital gains is zero when you redeem on maturity after 8 years. Gold becomes a long-term asset in the tax world when you hold it for 3 years or more and gets taxed at 20% after indexation. If you don't know indexation, you will just have to wait for another episode when I unpack this whole concept of indexation in taxation. If you sell the gold bond on the secondary market before the completion of 8 years, then the usual tax rates will apply, where within 3 years, the profit gets added to your income and gets taxed at slab level. And after 3 years, it is taxed at 20% after indexation. But in the SGB case, your tax impact is zero. You do not pay a long-term capital gains tax. Why is the government giving these tax swaps to you? so that we as Indians stop importing so much physical gold, which sometimes has the potential to derail India's foreign exchange reserves. The idea was to wean people away from physical gold to DMAT gold, which has the government guarantee behind it. Should you be buying it? Look, the only downside to switching from any other form of gold is the 8-year long holding period, which causes a lack of liquidity. If you can begin a laddering of gold bonds today, then from the 8th year onwards, you will have liquidity of gold in your portfolio. It does make money sense for those who want gold in their portfolio to move from physical gold to SGBs. Now you know what an SGB is. On to questions. What do we have this week, May?
Ishan Bakshi from Gurugram asks, I have been investing in mutual funds for almost 10 years now, and I dabble through some stocks via blue chip companies, which I buy when the market goes down. I'm a typical long-term investor and believe in compounding my money. My wife and I are both working as pilots in major airlines in India and hoping to start a family soon. We've been investing through an RIA all these years. However, the fee has become very expensive and investments are scattered in too many funds. Our portfolio is almost 2.5 crore with 20% in debt and the rest in equity. I want to keep things simple and start investing without the RIA and save an additional fee. Kindly suggest what allocation and where should we be investing for the same. We want to target a portfolio of 15 crore in the next 10 to 12 years. We invest around 3 lakh a month together in equity and debt.
Ishan, this year I have taken so many flights that I must have been on one of your flights. And just a note of thanks to all the wonderful pilots out there who get us there and back safe each time, every time. So let's look at your question. You want to know if the fee paid to the registered investment advisor, the RIA, is worth the work he is doing. Let's check on 4 points to get an answer. First, what is your portfolio return on equity? You should be doing at least as well as the Sensex or Nifty as a base level. Do some research and find out what the benchmark has given over the year, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. There's no harm in asking the RIA to do the work and send across the data in an email. No RIA worth her license will fudge these numbers where they can be tracked. You should be doing at least 3-4 percentage points over the index to justify the fee of the planner. 2. What is your portfolio return on debt? You should look at the 5-year fixed deposit as a benchmark for your longer tenure bond holdings. Again, check the return rates across the holding periods to see if you're doing at least 3-4 percentage points higher. 3. Check the portfolio asset allocation. An ideal mix is between large, mid, and small caps. But some planners have their own ways of structuring the portfolio, which is fine. So you have to see if there's an allocation approach or is the planner trying to harvest only the best returns. The allocation pie will show you the riskiness and growth potential of the equity side of the portfolio. And ideally, no more than half your portfolio should be exposed to mid and small caps. Last, check the number of funds. Equity should have no more than 5-6 schemes and debt add another 3-4. Anything more than that is a cause for concern. We can build really good portfolios with under 10 schemes in all in the portfolio. So if your planner is meeting these criteria, the fee is worth the money. But if you find that your portfolio is underperforming, then either find another planner or go solo. Though I must tell you, that a good planner is usually worth the fee. But if you are getting the feeling that you're not getting your money's worth, it is better to seek answers before you make a decision. Your question is that you have a target of 15 crore in 12 years. I'm delighted to tell you that it's well within your reach. Your 2.5 crore of savings already, if we take a very conservative 10% a year, in the time that you have gets you to about 7.8 crore. And this additional 3 lakh a year of savings, again, taking a conservative 10% gets you to 7.7 crore. That's almost 15 crore, which is your target. My sense is that your returns will be higher than 10%, given that your equity allocation is 80%. But it helps to know that even at a lower rate, you're going to be home safe. If you're planning to go solo, Ishan, I would recommend the following equity allocations. Keep 50% in an index fund on the Nifty 50 or Sensex, and 25% each in mid and small caps. Again, you can choose to do indexing for all three parts of the portfolio. That is the safest way to do this on your own. Ishan, here is hoping that your money flies as well as you do.
Here's a question from Lovelesh Garg. He says, I have a dilemma about home loan versus SIP. I've bought a flat which is under construction and allows me to pay as the construction completes, or what is called construction-linked plan. I just sold my old flat at a loss, so I've some money from there and some from which I can save money without impacting my current investments and pay for the home. The amount is around 60 lakh. My query is whether I should pay for the whole amount out of my own pocket, or should I take a home loan at around 8.5% and invest the amount in a mutual fund which can give me around 13-14%, which seems beneficial.
Lovelesh, this is one of the most difficult decisions to take. Do you take a home loan when you have the cash ready at hand? Look, the way we think about debt differs from person to person. I know people who rush to pay off the home loan because they don't want a rupee of debt on their heads, and others who keep the home loan because of the tax benefit it gives. Since this is an under-construction property and you are yet to move in, I suggest that you use the lump sum to pay off the home loan and use the EMIs you would have paid to start an SIP or a systematic investment plan. In any case, you would not go and invest the 60 lakh at once in the market. You would stagger it over at least a year, wouldn't you? So why not turn the EMI into a SIP and be debt-free as well? Because remember, this 13 to 14% return is not a sure thing. This is the estimated return on the index over the next decade. Please do not misunderstand it as a sure return on any mutual fund that you invest in. The return will depend on the choice of funds and the portfolio construction. I would stay safe and pay off this loan first, Lovelesh.
The next question comes in from Suman Biswas from Calcutta. He says, I've been seeing a lot of YouTubers and influencers talking about portfolio hedging and macroeconomic investing lately. I'm interested in learning more about these strategies, but I have a couple of questions. Firstly, are the returns from these strategies typically higher than those from regular investing, or is this more of a marketing tactic? Secondly, if these strategies have the potential for higher returns, how can I go about implementing them, particularly in terms of hedging my existing mutual fund portfolio?
Suman, I have found that the most complicated strategies end up doing either as well or underperform the benchmark, which is the Sensex or the Nifty 50. These strategies are sounding very complex and attractive, but you need to ask a few basic questions. One, who is recommending these strategies? What license does he have? Is he a stockbroker, advisor, portfolio manager? Do not listen to unregistered entities giving specific strategy or stock advice. Ask to see their license. Then, what has their portfolio return been for the last 3, 5, and 10 years using these strategies? What is the evidence of that? And last, what is the downside risk? How much money could you lose using these strategies? That is something you must know at the outset. So, man, at the end of the day, very few people can beat the market. Unless you work with a financial advisor who helps you with portfolio construction for a fee, stay safe with an index fund. Over the long term, this is the best way to hedge against the risk of volatility and other global events. In my advice, Suman, please stop watching these videos.
And that's a wrap for today. I enjoy answering your money questions. Remember, I don't look at individual portfolios. I don't recommend products. Look upon this space as a place to ask strategy questions, doubts, and just basic things that you might not understand. Each time you have a good money outcome, I feel that I have won. To make sure that you don't miss an episode, press follow. And help your friends get money smart by sharing a link with them. You can reach out to me at mailme@monicahullin.com. That's Monica with a K. tag my social media handles at the rate Monica Hallan. And finally, remember that you should have money and money should not have you. So let's talk money again soon. Bye.
Let's Talk Money is hosted by Monica Hallan. This is a Made in India production. Creative Director, May Mariam Thomas. Project Manager, Sean Phantom. Head of Audio Production, Karthik Kulkarni. Producer, Meghna Gulati. Sound Editor, Lakshman Parasuram. Artwork Design by Alika Gupta.